So I hope you all are having a great week. And it was nice, as Kevin mentioned, it was nice to be able to connect with lots of you at Camp Mount Lausanne last night, and to be able to have some time out there to hang out and to just kind of play around and have dinner and hang out by the fire. But I'll be honest with you, it was not a great week for me. It was a stressful week, and it was just kind of like one of those weeks like we have all had, where it seems like in lots of different areas of life, the stress just kind of keeps building as the week progresses. And so that was kind of the sort of week that I had. There were a few things early on in the week that kind of had me in sort of one of those patterns where it just seemed like things weren't going well, weren't going right. There was kind of this nagging problem I kept having early in the week where like half of the time I would go to start my car, it would start, and the other half it wouldn't. And so that was a little bit annoying. And then on Thursday, when I was already well into feeling stressed, I took our car into the shop, and they couldn't really tell me exactly what was wrong, but they could tell me that it was going to cost, you know, a lot of money to fix it. and so after some thinking about that and knowing that we were already sort of on borrowed time, we decided to add into a stressful week, we decided to add new car shopping and fast car shopping into the mix for us. And so then it was kind of like, the week went from stressful to really stressful because I am not a great car shopper. And so I was calling John and doing a lot of research online and talking with lots of people. And over the course of Friday and Saturday, I estimate that we did like 20 hours of car shopping with a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And it was not a fun time, just a stressful kind of week. And there was one moment in that week, and I'm not proud to say this. It was Friday morning. So I knew we were going to buy a new car. We had kind of slept on it for the night, thought about it. We needed to get some ducks in a row. And so we were trying to get the kids ready to run out the door to start this full day of car shopping. And then I needed to sign on to do some, you know, to kind of move some money around in our online bank accounts and to check on a few things and to look at a few cars. And so we're just kind of ready to run out the door. I go to do these last few things. The kids are ready, dressed, good to go. And I go to turn on the computer, and of course the it's dead. The battery's dead. and just the battery's dead, not the computer's dead. But the battery was dead. And then 99% of the time, the charger, the cord, is in one of two places. And it was not in either of those places. And so and I am terrible at finding things, especially when I need to find them. So I am running around the house like crazy looking for this charger. And then the kids are starting to play and mess things up. And it's kind of like this cycle is starting. And I can just feel kind of like the heat rising up in my neck. And the more places I look for this charger and can't find it, it feels like I'm starting to lose my mind. And I looked at Becca at one point, and I'm not like, I hope I'm not. Maybe Becca would say it different. I'm not like an overly dramatic kind of person. But I looked at Becca and I said, I think I understand why people have heart attacks. I'm going to have a heart attack right now if I can't find this charger for the computer. And luckily in that moment, Becca didn't laugh at me. She patted me on the back and walked out of the room. and then something else happened that was kind of a funny thing, or maybe not so much of a funny thing. Immediately, in that moment, I felt a little bit embarrassed for even saying that out loud, but immediately in that moment, in all kind of this stress and tension and just like feeling like I'm losing my mind, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about stress and looking at the 23rd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm starts coming into my mind. And I start remembering how, you know, one of the suggestions that I made was that in moments of stress, maybe we just need to step back and remember that God is our shepherd, that provides for us, and that takes care of us, and that protects us. And then I had a couple moments to kind of find my happy place and to get on with our day. And then everything, you know, and then the rest of the weekend was great. And so it was a good time. And so I say all that to say this. I hope, you know, not every message in this Transform series is going to be something that you feel like hits home right at an area of life that you're dealing with. And I understand that, certainly. You know, some of you might just be kind of low-stress people. Today we're going to talk about emotional health. Some of you might not think that you have any issues that you need to address with emotional health. Some of you might, when we talked about kind of physical health and things like that, you might think you're not really worried about that. But my hope is this, that as we're going through this series and that we're looking at these different areas, where we can be transformed, that there are things that are sticking out in your mind. And maybe they're not even sticking out in your mind consciously, but that in moments when you need them, that you find them. So this morning, all that to be said, we are going to look at the idea of emotional health. And we're going to start by reading a passage in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. And that's a very, you know, a well-known Bible passage where we're hearing, you know, how we are supposed to live from Jesus. And he's quoting the Old Testament in saying that. So we're supposed to love God with everything that we have. That's what we see in those areas: our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we spent some time talking about strength. We spent some time talking about soul with our spiritual health. We spent some time talking about mind with our mental health. And this morning, we're kind of going to focus in on that idea of what it looks like to love God with all of our heart. We're gonna look at the idea of emotional health. And I would argue, or I'd suggest, maybe I wouldn't have to argue it, I would suggest that the fact that we are emotional creatures, emotional beings, is one of the greatest gifts that we have from God. And some of you might sit there and think, I'm not really an emotional being. And some of you might sit there and think, well, maybe I'm too emotional and I don't really recognize it as a gift very often. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, I don't think my spouse got that gift of being an emotional being. But the truth of the matter is this: that whether we're expressive people, whether we're demonstrative of our emotions, whether we are people who you can kind of look at and you can know what they're thinking or not, we are all people who have been made as emotional human beings. And we could put this to the test. You know, I think if you're sitting there and even if you're thinking, I'm not very emotional, I think we could all take some time this morning to go on a little trip down memory lane and to recall memories or to think of things right now in our lives that bring us joy. You know, for lots of you, you might be able to think, you know, when you think of a happy memory, you might be able to think of, you know, that moment when you first went out on a date or when you first kind of caught the eye of your significant other or when your spouse asked you to marry them or when or on your wedding day, those kind of experiences. For some of you, it might be the day you watched your children being born. There could be all kinds of different experiences that we could share if we asked, what's the most joyful memory that you could think of in your life? And joy is certainly an emotion. You know, what's the happiest memory you could have? We would all be able to kind of come up with something that's a happy memory in our past that we have. And lots of us could easily come up with things right now that we do that kind of restores that sense of happiness or joy. Things that you would say you love doing, things that you enjoy doing. Those are all kind of emotional connections that we have with different things because we're all emotional. And the same is true. You know, we could spend all morning talking about those things that make us happy. And the opposite would also be true in the sense that that we have all gone through hard emotional experiences. We have all experienced and seen and been through things that have caused us to have a degree of negative emotions, of sorrow, of mourning, of anger. And in the same way that we could share happy memories, we could share those kinds of moments. You know, there have been so many of us in this room who have gone through the experience and those hard feelings in the passing of a loved one. There have been so many of us who have experienced trials and hardships in our own marriages or have been raised in homes where we have seen the hardship that comes in separation or divorce or things like that. There are many of us that could testify to that. There are so many of us who have gone through experiences where, you know, we've been touched, whether it's our immediate family or extended family or even friends that are like family, friends that we love, where families have just been wrecked by things like cancer. And you could talk about the hard experiences that come with those sorts of things. We're all emotional. And the reality is that whether it's good emotions or bad emotions, The experiences that we have in life create emotional feelings in us that don't just go away immediately. You don't just wake up the next morning and it's kind of like a clean slate and everything starts over. We were designed to be emotional. And I say it's one of our greatest gifts because it's something that we get from God. You know, again, another well-known passage comes to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, and this is God speaking. So this is one of the moments where you see the Trinity, because it's God addressing God, and he's saying, let us. And what he says is, let us make man in our image. And we recognize that a lot. We think about what it's like when in Genesis it says, let us make man in our image. But one thing that maybe we don't hit on quite as often is that that's not the end of the verse, that it also says, let us make man in our likeness. So when we're emotional creatures, when we're emotional beings, that's something that we have picked up from God. That's a trait that he has. And we see that all throughout Scripture. You know, if you think of what God is like, then lots of us come up with a whole slew of different answers. But, you know, if you're talking with someone, even someone who's critical of Christianity or who's critical of the Bible, you know, one of the things you often hear is that you have the God of the Old Testament who is angry and vengeful and is mad all of the time, and that you have the God of the New Testament who's loving and forgiving and peaceful and talking about joy in new life and things like that. And so some people look at those things and they say, well, those must be two different gods, and they critique. And of course, there are examples in the Old Testament where God is also loving and joyful and peaceful. And there are examples in the New Testament where Jesus is angry and where he's talking about wrath. But the reality is this, that lots of times when we think about God, whether we're a confessing Christian in church or we're someone who has issues with Christianity, we think of kind of the emotional states of God, the characters of God. We attribute him as either loving or angry. You know, we recognize him as someone who is joyful, or in the Old Testament, lots of people will point out someone who's jealous when his people turn away from him. But these are all kind of emotional traits that we see in God, they're things that have been passed down to us. And so that's why I say emotions are one of the greatest gifts that we get from God. But there are two kind of negative impressions of emotions that we see, kind of two mind frames that lots of us fall into. And the first is this, that some people have, you know, what I would call is like the tough person syndrome. And initially I said the tough guy syndrome, but there are definitely, you know, women who also would experience this, where emotions are something that they don't really recognize. They're something that they don't always value. They're something that they don't see as an important part of life, and they kind of try to suppress them and push them away and don't deal with them. And then there are other people, and this is not an official psychological term. I coined this, but it's the syndrome that I watched a little kid do something cute on Facebook, so I cried a little bit syndrome. And that is the overly emotional people among us. The people who, you know, at kind of a light breeze, you know, is able to make them just be overwhelmed with the beauty of creation or a sunset. And that's okay, you know. But sometimes there's a danger that happens when we fall into devaluing emotions and saying they're not important, or doing everything by emotion. Either one of those responses doesn't give them the worthiness that they're due. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like for us to have a healthy view of emotions today. And there's a quote that I came across in some reading that I thought did a great job at describing this. And it's by a guy named John Bloom. And he says that, and he's a Christian writer, he says, emotions are a gauge, not a guide. And let that sink in for a minute, and we'll say it again. Emotions are a gauge, not a guide. If you think for a minute about the way a car operates, which I've thought a lot about this past week, coincidentally, you know, you have gauges in your car. You have a fuel gauge that tells you how much fuel you have left in your car. You have a speedometer that's letting you know how fast you're going. But Those things aren't a navigational system. They're not a GPS. They don't tell you how to get where you're going. They don't tell you when you should turn. They don't tell you what you should do in your car, except for maybe letting you know you should slow down or you should get gas. But they're not the thing that drives the direction of your vehicle. They're a gauge that kind of tells you the state of your vehicle. And this writer would say that's the same thing that emotions should be for us. Emotions should be a gauge where we can learn about ourselves. You know, in the last 30 years, really, as the whole field of counseling has taken off and things like that, one of the biggest things that all counselors hit on is this idea of feelings. You know, they want to know what causes certain feelings that you have. They want to know how you feel about certain things. They want to kind of get in tune with all of these feelings that you have. And the reason why is because they know that emotions, that are feelings, that they're a gauge for us. That they kind of speak into our identity. So if you know the way people respond to certain things, the way they feel about certain things, then you can understand what they're afraid of in life, what they love in life, what their passions are in life. You get all of these sorts of things from understanding a person's emotional state. And we kind of see this idea that play out in Scripture a little bit. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus is talking about physical things. He's talking about where we put our treasure. And he says in that passage, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so when Jesus says that, this isn't very cryptic about what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, where you put your money, that's what you love. And the same is kind of also true when we, you know, that idea of where your heart will be, where your feelings are, where your emotions are, we see that kind of work out in reverse. You know, if we just kind of switch that text around, for where our hearts are, that's where our treasure will be. That's where we value. That's what we do. And so what Jesus is saying is that as people, we are emotional and we live out of those emotional states. We allow those things to control what we do, what we spend our money on, how we feel about certain things. And that's okay to a level. But the second part of that passage is also, of that quote is also really important, where John Bloom says that emotions are not a guide for us. Because when we allow emotions and when we allow feelings to guide our actions, when that's the kind of the ultimate end of the day factor in determining what we do or don't do, and it is for most of us a lot of our time, when we allow that to be the case, then we're not living faithfully. Then we are not really living well in regards to our emotions or in regards to our Christian lives. And there's a passage that talks about this in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. And we're going to read a couple passages from Romans. In there, Paul writes, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. And so our desires or our feelings in this passage, our desires are our feelings. And in this passage, Paul's kind of hitting at this idea that when we allow sin into our lives, the way we see that kind of manifested is that we begin to obey these evil desires that we have. But it's not just even evil desires. If we go on in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, we read, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And when the New Testament writers talk about flesh, they're talking about our sinful human nature. And so if you read that in flesh, in this passage, what Paul says is, for the mind set on our on fulfilling the desires of our sinful human nature is death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Whenever we allow our emotions, our sinful nature to control what we do, to fixate and to kind of direct our minds, it's an unpleasant ending as described by Paul. He says this leads us to death and that it is the mindset on the spirit that brings life and peace. And the truth is, and I am certainly guilty of this at times, is that lots of us live most of our lives kind of controlled by our feelings or our desires. You know, and when we do it, we certainly don't do it in the recognition that following those things leads to death. We do it because we think that following our feelings or our just our gut instincts or the things that we think will make us happy, that following those things is what's going to give us life. But ironically, it does not. And so it's good for us to ask the question, okay, so if emotions are good as serving as a gauge, but they're not our guide, they're not what directs us, they're not what kind of points us in life, then what is it that we look to be our guide? And the answer that we see right in that Romans 8 passage and that we see over and over again in Scripture is that we need to experience the power and the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit in order to live lives that are faithful. That we can't just be people that follow every whim of our emotions, but that we need to be people who are led by Him. And Paul, again, he writes about this pretty extensively in Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians 5, verse 16 and into verse 17, he says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So in this passage, again, this idea of flesh comes up, our sinful nature. And in it, Paul is writing to them, and he is saying that we need to be people who walk by the Spirit. When we talk about our guide, our directional system, it's walking by the Spirit and not gratifying the desires, which are, you know, the act of desire is something that is inherently emotional. It's something that you want, the desires of our flesh. And he lays it out right there, if that's not clear enough. The reason why we shouldn't do this is because our flesh desires things that are contrary to what God would have for us. So if we're following our flesh and our emotions, we're not being faithful to Him. John Piper talks about walking by the Spirit, and he says, walking by the Spirit is what we do when the desires produced by the Spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh. And I like the way he uses that language because it makes it clear that this isn't just something that's easy for us to lay down and do on our own. You know, in some ways it seems pretty cut and dry the way Paul writes about it. So he says, okay, so you're living in this way, you're following the desires of your flesh. Just stop doing it and follow the desires of the Spirit. It's kind of a cut and dry statement that Paul makes when he says we need to walk by the Spirit. And I'll say that for lots of us, we take those applications in our lives. You know, we think as faithful Christians, it's as easy as us saying in our own power, in our own strength, we just need to stop doing this and we need to start doing this. And the truth is, if you could do that, that'd be true. That'd be good. That would be great. You know, if we could all sit down this afternoon and say, hey, here are all the sins that I'm currently acting on every day. Here are all the things that I'm doing. Here are all the things I need to change on my life. And you write them down on a list and you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Instead, I'm going to do all of these things that we see in Scripture that instruct us on how to live. And I'm just going to make that decision on my own to do that. If you could do that, that would be great. But the reality is that it's not quite that easy for us to just decide to walk by the Spirit and to experience the empowerment and the guidance of the Spirit. Looking back to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. In there, this is one of the best passages on the Holy Spirit, and it's in the way back into the Old Testament. In there it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now in this passage, this is God describing that he does all of the work in us being empowered by the Spirit. This is him saying he is going to put his Spirit in us. And when we experience his Spirit, it's at that point that we will be moved not to follow the desires of our flesh, but to follow the laws that he's given us. Not to kind of follow our whims and our emotions and what we think is best, but to experience his leading and his empowerment and to walk in the way that he guides us. That becomes clear if we jump back to, and I apologize for this, jump back to Galatians chapter 5, just in the next verse that we had read, in verse 18, where Paul says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. in both Ezekiel and in Paul's writing in Galatians, what we see is that this idea of us experiencing the leading of the Spirit is something that depends on God to accomplish. It's not just something that we can do in our own strength. Because when it's our own strength, we end up following the desires of our flesh. Even some that are really good and seem good, a lot comes in there that's also negative. And one of the interesting things that I think is this, that the promise, what we see in Galatians chapter 5, is that when we walk by the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, and when we begin to follow the desires of the Spirit rather than our own desires, is that even though on one hand it seems like we're laying our life down, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it explains the results of that. When it says the fruit, kind of the result, the outpouring of the Spirit in our lives, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, those aren't all emotional states, but if we just looked at the first three and said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, those are emotions that we would love to have a lot of the time. And the promise that we have in Scripture is that it's when we walk in faithful step with the Spirit, when we experience that empowerment and guidance of the Spirit, that we live a life that's faithful to God and we live a life that is emotionally healthy. And so as we close today, there are just kind of three quick thoughts that I want to suggest for living a life that is empowered by the Spirit, that's in step with the Spirit. And the first is this, that we need to acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit. And that seems like almost a strange thing that we need to write, but we do. You know, lots of times as Christians, we kind of completely forget about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We completely forget, as we're trying so hard to do everything to please God in our own strength, we forget that what Jesus has promised to us is that he's sending the Holy Spirit to help us in that pursuit, in that process. So we need to acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit. And the second is this, we need to pray that God's Spirit would do his work in us. You know, one of the best things that we could pray and ask for our lives is to go back and read that passage in prayer from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. That's a promise, you know, when God is saying he's going to replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh, that he's going to give us his Spirit that's going to transform us in our desires. That's a promise that we read in Scripture from God. And that's something that we should be asking God for actively and regularly. And then the third piece is this, that we need to start living that out, that we need to start following our prayers with actions. You know, that it's a great and it's a good thing. And I don't want to diminish, you know, the first two parts of that process. But if we just end with the idea of recognizing the Holy Spirit and praying for the Holy Spirit, then sometimes we'll miss one of the most important pieces is that Paul tells us that we need to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, that leads us, those prayers and that asking for the filling of the Spirit, it leads us into action. And sometimes, you know, we get these gut feelings in life, and it's hard to kind of describe the way the Spirit leads us, you know, but maybe it's when you're in a terrible mood and all of a sudden, you know, the 23rd Psalm comes to mind. And it would be really easy to just push it off and to keep searching for the computer cord, but you just need to take a little break and have a put yourself in time out and think about that for a while. You know, there are moments like that where we experience the prompting of the Spirit, and we need to be faithful in those times to follow through with that. Because it's as we walk with him that we continue to experience that guidance.